Today we're going to begin a new study. It's scheduled to last for 3 weeks, and it covers this doctrine of evangelism. Evangelism is a very important doctrine of the church, and it's a very important aspect of the life of the church. So we're going to spend some time concentrating on that. I have to tell you that I just finished this first session on Friday, and I haven't prepared all of the sessions yet. I have a skeletal structure of what we're going to do. So we may go beyond 3 weeks. I have prepared a session for today, and I'm hoping to get through it this morning, but we may not get through it this morning. And if we don't, I'm not concerned about getting through the material. You know, what we are concerned about is discovering what this doctrine of evangelism is and what it means for us in the church. So we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to try something a little different today. There are going to be times when I ask you to participate directly and ask you some questions. Of course, any time during the presentation, if you have a question or a comment, I encourage you to raise your hand. Part of the good result of classes is that they can be interactive. It's a little different than preaching. So I have to tell you, and you all know this already if you've been here, I'm not as quick on my feet as Steve Garrick. So I may have to say, well, I don't know. I'll have to look that up, you know. Any comment or question you have, don't be embarrassed or don't be shy about asking it. It's very important that we have an interest in this teaching of evangelism, to know what it is and what our responsibility, our duty, our work of love towards the Lord is in relation to this work of evangelism. So part of that is that all of us, you, me, all of us, are enthusiastic and excited about this topic of evangelism. And I hope I've done a good enough job with preparing that I can keep your attention a little while anyway. Now, we are going to try something a little different today. We have a remote microphone, and since we're recording the sessions, and since it is a little difficult for some of us who are a little older than all of you very, very young people to hear at times, it will be very helpful for us as we engage in exchanges if you will use the microphone. So I'm going to ask Daniel if he will deliver the microphone around quickly. How we will do this, is it on? How we will do this is I will either you raise your hand and I will recognize you, or I will call on you and ask you a question. And at that point, Daniel will quickly give you the microphone, and it will already be on. And what I ask you to do is hold it right up in front of your face. These are directional microphones, so you have to have it right in front of your mouth for it to work well. Okay? Don't be embarrassed. You all have beautiful voices, and so we'd love to hear from you. Okay, we're going to approach our study of evangelism from the perspective of God's purpose and plan. So the title of our study is Evangelism and the Purpose and Plan of God. I use the word plan because I didn't have a better word, but that includes God's eternal decrees. So the purpose and how those decrees are revealed to us in Scripture and how they are unfolded in the providence of God. So our focus on learning something about evangelism is going to be focused on the purpose and plan of God. And I have to plug in my little white pencil for a minute. 1, 2, 3. Should work now. working. Okay. We're going to approach our study focusing on five areas: the command to evangelize, the meaning of evangelism, the purpose of evangelism, evangelism and God's sovereignty, and the work of evangelism. Now, how many of you have had some kind of evangelism training in the past someplace? Okay, quite a few of us. All right. Most of the evangelism training most of the evangelism training that we typically experience is focused right here on the work of evangelism. In other words, this is what you need to do, you know, and this is how you're going to do it, and if you do that, everybody's going to be saved, and it's going to be beautiful, and everybody's going to love it. Okay, we're going to spend most of our time on the second, third, and fourth areas. Now, I included the command to evangelism, the command to evangelize, right at the beginning, because what's important for us to understand is that evangelism is a command from God, and consequently, it is like all other commands of God. It is consistent with who God is, consistent with His eternal purpose, and He makes His plan for that clear, just as He does with all of His other commands. In other words, we can't take this concept of evangelism and separate it from everything else we know about the commands of God. It's not something that we contribute to or that we construct. And that's the problem with most concepts or understandings of evangelism today, is that everybody has a different plan of evangelism. When we get down to the work of evangelism, which will be hopefully 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, on our third week, I'm going to bring in all of the evangelism texts that I have. They aren't all of the texts that are available. I'm just going to bring in the ones that I have. And just to give you an idea of how much has been written about this topic of evangelism. So let's begin by looking at the command to evangelize. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it's a great commission. Jesus does not use the word evangelize or evangelism in this command, but that's what this command is all about. This is the command to evangelize. Here, Jesus, this is just before His ascension, He met His disciples in Galilee, and we're told that He came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, there's more involved in this command than evangelism, but evangelism is an essential step, an essential part of this command. So the command to evangelize is contained within the Great Commission. So, that's the command to evangelize. That's all I'm going to say about it right now. Later on, we will talk about the Great Commission a little bit more, especially when we get down to the work of evangelism. But right now, it's necessary for us to understand that God does command us to evangelize. The Lord Jesus Himself commands that. It is an essential part, a very necessary part of the Great Commission, and as we come to unfold this understanding of evangelism, you will see why it is an essential part of the Great Commission. So our second topic is the meaning of evangelism. The meaning of evangelism. So we ask ourselves, what is evangelism? And this is where we get to have a little fun. Hopefully it'll be fun for you. I want to ask you, what are some common understandings about evangelism? Now, these do not have to be things that you believe, but I'm interested in the ideas that you have been exposed to about evangelism, whether it's been training. They can be things that you believe. That's fine. But I'm also interested in the whole gamut of things that are called evangelism and taught as evangelism. So think about that for a moment, and we have someone. Michael, okay.
I can think of two things I've run into, I guess. One is the sort of the obligation on the part of the Christian to, in their everyday life, be kind of always watching and seeking opportunities to share the gospel with other individuals that they interact with. Could be the clerk that checks you out at the store, could be your coworker or whatever, but I guess sometimes this seems to turn into, I think the word obligation is probably appropriate. Sometimes it seems to turn into you need to be doing this in your daily interactions with people that you run into. Maybe another one that I can think of is, I guess on the last one, it's very sort of tied to your social interactions that happen in the course of life. That first one, it's really just disconnected from the church. We're talking about, when you're at the store, when you're at work, when you're on your front yard doing lawn work, whatever it might be, the people you interact with there in your sphere, and the second one I can think of is the one that gets credited to Francis of Assisi, not the Pope, but the preach the gospel and if necessary use words.
Preach the gospel and if necessary use the word?
Use words. In other words, it's sort of saying lifestyle evangelism, meaning instead of overtly explaining the truth of the gospel to people, kind of with your life, constantly be seeking to represent what it means to be a good person and a Christian to others, and then, I guess, with the hope that eventually they'll ask you why you act that way. So those are the two things I can think of that I run into.
Okay, give me just a second. Hope you can read my writing. Obligation to witness, not connected with the church. To lifestyle evangelism. My mama taught me to write when I was 5 years old at home on a farm in Missouri. And Mrs. Boyers, my first grade teacher, tried to fix it. And she failed. Okay.
One of today's that I don't agree with, it's this evangelism campaigns that it's a ceremonial process full of emotional encouragement to
like crusades,
come down the aisle and accept the Lord.
Crusades?
Yeah, crusades. And it's mostly emotional things. Well, campaigns, they put it in stadium everywhere, you know. I don't agree, but they call that evangelism in today's world. Yeah.
You have to put the mic right here in front of your mouth, just so you know, okay. For the people over there. It's got to be right here. I would say the evangelistic campaigns, I would agree that's a common thing. There's an evangelist in town, so everybody go to a revival. That's what I mean.
All right, what else?
I would say, typically overseas missionaries.
What?
Overseas missionaries.
Missionaries.
Third world type evangelism.
Foreign missions?
Those that are sent out from the church to go to the door-to-door campaign.
Door-to-door campaigns. All right. How many of you have done that? We got some door-to-door guys here. What else?
So I grew up in a very remote area. So none of these was apparent in my life. Nobody goes door to door where I come from. You're trespassing.
There's a reason for that.
And you get shot. And nobody would even really. Most of these folks that are involved in this, all jokes aside, they wouldn't even think that there's a house down that road, and there's many gates to get there. So it just wasn't a thing. However, those that know me well know that one whole half of my family is Jehovah's Witness. So the evangelism that I've seen, although I know now is not even Christian, they're not evangelizing in the world of Christendom at all, in my belief. However, it is the only evangelism that I know intimately. And I think from being removed from that world, you know, that I grew up in long enough now that I've seen enough of it to know that Christianity a lot of times falls into this same trap that even the Jehovah's Witnesses do, which is ideologically driven. In other words, they seek to come to your house and literally scare you into believing. It's a evangelism of fear. It's almost going back to the Southern Baptist fire and brimstone type that no other religion other than ours will get you into heaven. So it's really ideologically driven, and I didn't see it door to door, but I did see it once they got a foothold into your community, then they would almost hide the fact of what they are until they were invited over to dinner type thing, and then like an atomic bomb went off. So
okay.
That's all I was used to seeing.
All right. Thank you. I think Francis had your hand up a moment ago.
I was just going to say the push with the youth, they get them into a very concert-like activity that is very, very typical of what you would see in the world under the guise of ministry.
Okay. Variety of attractive youth events. Brian.
Bus ministry is a strong one.
Bus ministry. Mm-hmm. How many of you have been involved in some form of bus ministry? Okay, a few of us. For those of you who aren't aware of it, here's how bus ministry works. People go around at least my exposure to it, you have teams of people who go around and predominantly try to sign up kids. You know, it's kind of door to door. You know, we have a bus that comes around, and if your children would like to come to Sunday school, we'll pick them up. And so you get a whole list of children signed up, and then you have people devoted to that bus ministry, and every Sunday they go around and they pick up all the children and bring them to church while mom and daddy have 4 hours in the morning without the kids. Okay, bus ministry. What else? Anything else?
The stickers that you put on the cars and roadside.
Bumper stickers.
Roadside advertisements, I guess that's
what. And Patrick.
The whole field of servant evangelism, where they go out and they do things. Soup kitchens, there was a group that we were involved with that they would go out and scrub toilets in people's businesses and things under the guise of servant evangelism. Basically service, and as a byproduct of the service, being able to evangelize.
Social service evangelization, sometimes called the social gospel, where it spills into that. Who else? Anyone else? I'm surprised that my brother Robert didn't contribute. He's done just about all of it in one church or another. All right. What about the four spiritual laws? Anybody heard of those? Got a couple? I'm sorry? The bridge illustration. These are all one-on-one evangelism for the most part.
Street preaching?
I'm sorry?
Street preaching.
Street preaching. I've done some of that. The Roman road. How about that one? I've forgotten the wages of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So that's, in other words, you go to Romans and pick out those three or four things. Guillermo.
In the last church, I've been like an Armenian pastor. Goodwill Baptist Church. We do a lot of Fall Fest.
With a lot of what?
Like Halloween coming. The Fall Fest.
Oh, Fall Festivals, yeah. Seasonal events.
Of, you know, funny things for the kids, all this. And
that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that.
And another one is the gospel in colors. You got a little book. The front page is black. And you explain the people. You see this, like this piece of paper, black. Jesus came with the red, and I turned your life and your sins in white, and you explain by colors the gospel.
Gospel in color. I'm glad you mentioned that. We used, when I was a Southern Baptist, we did what we called a fall festival. We did it on Halloween night. Lots of churches do that, and we pretty regularly, we did it for 2 or 3 years. We'd have 350 to 400 people show up. None of them ever came to any of our services, but, you know, we had a lot of people there, and we spent a lot of time getting ready. Francis?
So that always disturbed me, was that at the one of the churches that we attended, they did this Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was really gross, and it I just didn't understand that ministry at all.
Yeah. Okay. I'll list one more. The Southern Baptist, a few years ago, had this thing called FAITH. I don't even know what it is, but it's an acronym for five words that you're supposed to be keywords to remind you of how to present whatever you're presenting in your witnessing or gospel presentation.
was going to say Vacation Bible School.
I'm sorry?
Vacation Bible
School. Vacation Bible School. Okay. All right. So we have, and we could list more, but we have about 19 things. As we look at these, and we won't take time to analyze them all, but as we look at these, I would suggest, even without thinking through them a great deal, we can find some things that are common denominators or common groups of general things that characterize different ones of these. One of them is what Michael mentioned earlier, this personal obligation. When you're talking about door-to-door evangelism, Michael mentioned it in the context of witnessing not connected with the church, but even that combined with things like door-to-door evangelism, a variety of evangelistic campaigns, presentations, Four Spiritual Laws, Bridge Illustration, Roman Road. I think, I haven't seen the Gospel in Color, but I believe the way it was presented, it was to be an individual kind of activity, the faith activity. So you have a whole group of these that are all individual. Then there is a... There's a group of them that are church-related in some way, whether it is evangelistic campaigns or crusades, foreign missions. In some sense, they are the work of the church, social service evangelism, seasonal events. So I wanted to list these because whenever we think about evangelism, we start immediately our minds and thoughts go to some of these kinds of things, you know. And if you grew up in the religious circles that I grew up in, and if you were trained, as I was early on in the ministry at a Southern Baptist seminary, what you have is you have this sense of duty and obligation that I have to get up today and tell somebody about Jesus. Whether you do it or not, there is that sense that that's my obligation. I must evangelize. Or there is the sense that we as a group, or both of these, we as a group, as a church, we need to be organizing and having fall festivals, some kind of youth event, some kind of program or activity to evangelize, because that's what evangelism is. What I'm going to suggest to you is that I think that this time of teaching, when we look at evangelism, or as we together learn and examine these ideas and examine the scripture and our confession concerning evangelism, I think that this is going to be something very new for you. I think that for most of us, it will turn our ideas of evangelism upside down or revolutionize what we think about evangelism. And I'm hoping it does that. I'll be right with you. I'm hoping it does that because the work of evangelism is something that we as a church must have a real heart for. We must be committed to. But at the same time, we must be committed to it with the right understanding of what it is and how God has ordained that work be carried out. Yes, Jim.
What's interesting about this list to me is that I can only, in the full list, only see two that regardless of whether done right or wrong, I can only see two so far that are actually dealt with in a biblical sense in their commands of God, which God commands us, I think it's number two, to live the lifestyle of a Christian. And we certainly, when we do that, we live by God's command, the lifestyle of evangelism. So the Bible does cover that one. And it's a command to live as a Christian. And that's a witness to the gospel. And then the other one is foreign missions. So out of that whole list, whether either one of those are done properly or not, God does deal with those specifically. But the rest of the list seems to be just junk.
All right. Wayne.
Yeah, evangelism. Good grief, now listen. I had a senior moment. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Personally, with evangelism, I believe definitely what Michael said about it's a lifestyle, but I think now you have to invest your time and love in people before they'll even want to listen to you about talking about what Jesus has done in your life. Some of my neighbors, you know, they change the subject real quick, but you have to let the Holy Spirit guide you the way you live and react to people and invest in their lives.
Yeah, I remember in evangelism in the Crusades, you know, Paul, when he talked on Mars Hill, that was a example of Crusades as he was bringing together all of the different ideologies of gods and everything else on Mars Hill.
Okay. All right, Eric.
I was just going to say one other comment that I'm thinking about in as we discuss this. I guess I'm kind of seeing at least two different levels operating here. One would be on the individual level, and one would be on the corporate level. And then I'm trying to think about it in terms of people groups. Like, one would be the sphere or people that you know, and people then that you don't know, right? Obviously, in terms of lifestyle and relationship and that sort of thing, would be your sphere of influence, the people that you know and can interact with on a daily basis. But then there's the other people that you don't know that would be, to be engaging in some way with. But on the individual level and the corporate level.
Okay. All right. Let's remember that what we're focusing on is the meaning of evangelism. And we went through this little exercise to get some idea of what we mean or what we think evangelism means based on all of the various ideas to which we have been exposed. If we are going to understand what Christ commands us when he tells us to make disciples and understand the evangelistic part of that, and if we are going as a church to carry out this work of evangelism the way God would have us do it, then it is critical that we understand what evangelism means. So how do we find that out? Well, I have 2 minutes to tell you. Because I might go over three, but I'm always on Steve Garrick about going over time. So I'm going to try to stay within limits within our time, but I will come back next week and go review this so we can look at it a little more thoroughly. In the New Testament, there are three words that are used predominantly for evangelism that we get our understanding of evangelism from. The first word is euangeliso. Euangeliso. It is a verb. It is found nearly 60 times in the New Testament with the primary meaning, preach the gospel. And I won't look up the scripture references today. We'll look them up next week. But I just want to give you a brief introduction to it, and then we'll come back to it next week. It's a verb. It's Greek. It means to bring good tidings or to announce good news, especially the gospel. To preach the gospel. It's a verb. The second word that we find in the New Testament is the noun, euangelion. Euangelion. You can get that sound between euangelion and evangelism. Euangelion is the message itself. It is the good tidings. It is the gospel. It occurs nearly 80 times in the New Testament. It is a good message or good tidings. Specifically, it is the New Testament term for the good news of the consummation of God's plan of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and promise of everlasting life and peace with God accomplished by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's the good tidings. That's the good news. And the third word is euangelistes. Euangelistes. It is a noun, and it means a preacher of the euangelion, a preacher of the good news, of the good tidings, of the gospel, an evangelist. And we find this word euangelistes three times in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 21 verse 8, and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, and 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. Now, I find it interesting that this word euangelion or euangelistes, all the forms of this word, derive from an Old Testament word, basar, or I don't speak Hebrew as well as I speak Greek, so it may be basar. And in the Old Testament, that word means glad tidings or good news. Glad tidings or good news. And it's used in many, many places in the Old Testament. One of the places that we will look at, one of the references that we will look at is Isaiah chapter 41. When you begin in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 26, and read through chapter 42, verse 4 or 5, first of all, in verse 27, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he refers to the glad tidings, you know, that are to be announced. Then, as you get into chapter 42, what we have is this beautiful messianic prophecy of the coming of Christ. So, all the way back to the Old Testament, this concept of the announcing of glad tidings, the coming of good news, is presented or unfolded by God. And we find our understanding of evangelism then rooted all the way back into the Old Testament promise of salvation through the coming of a Messiah. So, for this week, what is important for us to remember is simply that when we come to the Bible and we ask the Bible, what does evangelism mean? Then, we have to come to these three New Testament words and tie it to the Old Testament word. And what we find there is that evangelism is the announcing of the good news, the glad tidings. And The good news of the glad tidings is the salvation that is in Christ. And those who are described as the evangelist are the preachers who preach the good news. As we progress in our study, we will see that understanding, that biblical understanding of evangelism, is critical to how we understand and our responsibilities and our work as a church and how we are to carry that out. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we're very, very thankful that you have not left us on our own to just figure things out and make up our own ways of things. And we thank you, God, that you give us this command in the Bible through the Lord Jesus to make disciples. And not only do you give us this command, you have ordained the means by which we are to do it. Father, we ask that you will do your work in us, your church, to carry out this good work to glorify you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.